The problem, dear brothers and sisters, there's a real problem if we are too comfortable in this dark world of death. A real problem. And so if you sit there thinking, I quite enjoy life, dark world's not too dark, quite a bit of light about, there's a problem if you are too comfortable here. There's a problem if there isn't a wanting in your heart for more. Yes, your first point was creation, was it? Was it? Good. One person nodding. That's good. Of course, you see creation and you praise God that He's creator. He's the one who created life and everything. And so as I was driving up here, I praised God for autumn. I was driving up thinking, wow, those orange and red leaves are beautiful. But if there isn't a want in your heart for something more, there's a problem. A big problem. If you are content, overly comfortable, side by side with the world, that reveals to you, really that reveals to you that you aren't shining as you should be, you aren't serving as you should be, and you aren't standing as you should be for your Savior. Because when we shine as we should do and serve as we should do and stand as we should do for the Lord Jesus Christ, this world isn't a comfortable place. This world does not accept how we live. It doesn't accept at all our worldview. It is opposing on every level of who we are. And so therefore, if your unbelieving friends, unbelieving family members, unbelieving work colleagues, unbelieving neighbors are quite happy with who you are, that is a problem. And it shows you're not shining as you should be. Darkness does not rest well with light. Do dwell on that. Darkness does not rest well with light, and the light exposes the darkness. And so therefore, just like when you lift my daughter, she's a fan of creation too. My daughter, when she lifts up one of those big rocks on her bug hunting journeys, what do those dark loving creatures do? They hop and scurry as fast as they can away from the gleaming light of the sun. What are you? What does Jesus call you? Amazingly, so it almost sounds blasphemous if it wasn't from the mouth of our Creator, Savior. He tells you, you are the light of the world. Of course, He's the light and you just reflect His light. But He tells you, as servants of the Most High God, that you are the light of the world. And so people, if they're not accepting what you say, people will. Their natural reaction, because they are death, dark, loving people, they will scurry away back under that rock. They will run from what you say unless God changes their heart. And so, you're to know that darkness does not rest well with light. And either you're shining in your life and that is evident, or you're not. You're too comfortable. And dear brothers and sisters, as I introduce to you a little more about let them live, I want us to be reminded that what we think about now, the specific topic, the topic about you shall not kill, the topic of what life is, made in the image of God, that topic, the subject that we come to, that the murder of the little ones in society, that's nothing new in this world. The sin of killing the little ones of society is nothing new, sadly so. And if you even just flick through your Old Testament, you will see again and again who was involved in the killing of the little ones of society. You will see that God's people were involved. Up there is an artist's impression. I have no clue where from or when, but an artist's impression of the worship of Moloch. Moloch, and that is the artist's impression of what that worship would have looked like Moloch was the god of the Ammonites, and the Ammonites were people who lived very close to Israel. Roger Sloan, back row there from Cookstown, you're privileged to have a member of Cookstown with you. He's currently reading through the scriptures for us at the say-so of session, do not worry. And he's reading through, was it Joshua or Judges? And they Judges. And what are they doing? They just won't drive the people out. They won't devote them to destruction. And these were some of them people, the Ammonites. And they worshipped this god, Moloch. And how was Moloch worshipped? By a child sacrifice. Whereas the scriptures nearly even, I don't know if it's delicate, but as the scriptures describe it, passing of sons and daughters through fire. You see that phrase again and again and again. And who is doing it? God's people are doing it. And one thing that I hadn't even planned to talk about, but I must. The number of times that I have spoken to Christians who aren't totally opposed to abortion is shocking. Didn't quite know it was that wrong. Why? Surely in the difficult circumstances, that's shocking. And what is that? They are, as the psalmist says, being mixed with the nations, and they are learning to do what they do. And that is so sadly what many of Western Christians, especially in liberal circles, who just say, well, life's difficult and sometimes that might be the better thing to do. That is so sad. God's people, Jeremiah 32:35, they built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hidden to offer up their sons and daughters to Moloch. Though I did not command them, nor did it enter my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And the psalm that I referred to, Psalm 106, verses 34 to 38, listen to these words, even in the book of Psalms. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them, but they mixed with the nations and learned to do as they did. They served their nation. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. God's people taking who? Covenant children. God's people taking covenant children, potential seed of the woman there. Imagine even that. Potential seed of the woman there being burned to appease an idol. People in our nation, the people in our nation, do they worship this God? No, they do not. They don't worship Moloch. But what do? Do they worship Christ? Do they bow down to Christ? No. Who do they bow down to? They bow down to other idols. They bow down to, even as the psalmist says, they bow down to other demons. That is what your unbelieving neighbors and friends and work colleagues and whoever else bow down to. They live for someone else. They worship the God of comfort, say. They worship the God of ease. They worship, most of all, surely, they worship the God of self. And what do many people sacrifice to the God of self? Whether it is to try to be financially stable, whether it's out of fear of life changing too much, whether it is for sexual freedom without responsibility, what do many, many, many thousands of people sacrifice to the God of self, comfort, and ease? They sacrifice the life of their little unborn children. That's what they sacrifice. It is modern day child sacrifice. It is nothing else. It is to promote what their life is as they want it to be, how they're bowing down. They don't want to be altered at all from that course of bowing down to that demon, that idol. And so many even go so far as to sacrifice their children for their cause, for their worship. It's the complete antithesis of the gospel, isn't it? To serve the God of self, to sacrifice all to that, instead of our beautiful Savior who gave it all for us, who gave all of his life to us, for his people, to give everything up for his people. The exact antithesis of the gospel. And in our Western culture, even culture globally, really, it's your life, you're told. You're to do what you please. You're to live for self. Make sure you're doing that. Make sure no one turns you off that path. And you are to take what you need to take to ensure what you want of your life. Even the life of the little unborn. Even the one who hasn't even seen the light of day yet. And that first sign, or that first slide, what is that? My uterus, my rules, what is that? What is that young girl standing up, holding up? What's she meaning? It's just a variation of the very famous slogan, my body, my choice. So she's saying, I am the God of my life. This is my body. Is it your body? No, it's not your body. You know full well it's not your body. And my rules? What's that mean? How can she have her own rules? How would that work? No, it's God's rules. And you know that. It's God's law or no law. And there she is, happily thinking that that is a good life to live, and that should be protected, even if it means to kill whatever God places in her uterus. Oh, how sad, and oh, how thankful we should be that we have Christ, that we have life. As my wife often reminds me, anytime I preach about the world and what they believe, anytime I preach about people who are unbelieving and the nasty, awful things they do, my wife wisely reminds me, there you are. There you are if you had not Christ. And I know I wouldn't say that, but if I was a woman and an unsaved woman, if you were an unsaved woman, those are your words, if you had not Christ. And how we praise the Lord for Jesus. How we praise him for the wisdom that he gives us, the light that he gives us, his scriptures. How we praise him that he's given to us understanding of his holy, holy word. Some of you might not be aware of the scale of this modern day sacrifice, and I'm going to get David to play for us a video. This is just to picture the true scale of the horror. I'm just going to ask David to give the audio of the clip, and it pictures the scale of the horror. It may sound a little silly to start with, but listen to the end.
I just want you to, right there in your seats, just shut your eyes. What you're about to hear are the sounds of metal BBs striking the side of a tin can. For every BB that strikes, it represents 10,000 lives lost in the wars of America's past. 10,000 lives for every BB. This is the reality of what is occurring in your country. The American Revolution. The Civil War. World War I. World War II. The Korean Conflict. The conflict in Vietnam. September 11th and the War on Terror. Since 1973, the War of the Unborn Child. God help us.
That represents, when that video was made, I think that represents 60 million. Little babies who have not seen the light of day, little babies ripped limb from limb, little babies, as the Bible would often tell us, whose blood was shed. All for the sake of living for self. All for the sake of, I can't do this now. And yes, there are difficult cases, but never is the compassionate choice that. And the scale of that, of course, is truly horrifying. The scale of that, our little minds, thankfully, our little minds can hardly take that in. Lest we wouldn't be able to live anymore in this world. And what did Ireland recently campaign to do? Very skillfully, very cleverly, wickedly, what did they campaign to do? They campaigned for that. They wanted that. They wanted the freedom to have that. And I want you to look into the faces of people who don't have faces like yourself. And I'm happy, it's not often I say I'm happy to see tears. But it's the correct response. It's the madness of this world. It's the death-loving of this world. In one of the Proverbs, I haven't looked it up, but in one of the Proverbs it says, those who do not love God, simple as, love death. Those who do not love God, love death. And some of you in your mobile phone can look that up and see where it is. I'd be happy if you did that, actually, but not now. But that is the reality of our world. And your faces, some of them, happily, I would say, have tears. Look at the faces of these ladies, largely. Because they won the referendum to be able to abort their children.
Yeah, I'm proud to be Irish today. I think Ireland's coming so far in the last 10 years, and I think it's just really shown that we're not so influenced by the church as much anymore. And it's just quite reassuring that we can now stay in our own country and we don't have to get the boat to the UK for healthcare, yeah.
We're progressive. We're not a conservative country anymore.
Oh, I'm feeling elated. I have waited 35 years for this. I'm emotional. I'm just elated. I've never thought I'd see a day like this in Ireland. It's wonderful to be an Irish woman.
Blinded, aren't they? So sadly, we should have pity on them. We should be angry about what they're doing, yes, but we should have pity too. Because there we are without Christ. Some of the stats, 40 to 50 million abortions have been carried out or are carried out worldwide every year. So what you heard in the metal BBs, you all know what BBs are with wee guns, yeah? What you heard there pictured in that audio clip, that was 60,000, so just under that, that happens every year in the world. Our little minds cannot take it in. Since 1967, the Abortion Act in the UK, those metal BB guns, that was America and the UK, 8 million abortions have been carried out in England and Wales. I'll mention Roger Sloan because I love him. Roger Sloan, after hearing that stat for the first time here in this room with your pro-life talk, he said to me home in the car, 8 million? That's the population of Ireland. That's no one in Tesco's, that's no one in Asda, that's no one in the factories, that's no one in any houses. That's a whole island wiped out, and that is what England have done, relatively speaking, in their land. By age 45, 1 in 3 women have had an abortion. In England, 1 in 3 women are murderers of their children. In the last decade in England and Wales, over 2 million abortions have been carried out. Only 4 to save the life of the mother. All the rest for what? Social reasons. The majority. Women between 20 and 24 are the largest users of abortion services. It's not hard to think why in our culture. 76% of UK adults are pro-choice. It's not questioned. They're in favour of what we've been hearing about. And now, those are stats of the past, really. Now some recent stats from The Independent from this month, October 2018. Northern Irish stats. 75% of Northern Ireland want the abortion laws to change. 67% support Westminster ruling that change. They support devolution being hopped around. And I find those stats odd. Those were taken from The Independent. Both Lives Matter, have you heard of that organisation? They brought out some very different stats that basically said the opposite to that. And, well, pollings, we know, show nothing, but it's interesting that The Independent could get those stats anyway. And for those of you who are up in your politics, and if you are a Christian who lives in a nation, you should be, for the sake of Christ, you should be up in your politics. And that's a rebuke to me. I'm trying to be more. But what's just happened a number of days ago? The Labour MP, Diana Johnson, put forward what's called a 10-minute bill to totally decriminalise abortion in the UK, including Northern Ireland. That is what Diana Johnson tried to do, and that is very, very crafty. She knows that our leaders are at an impasse for whatever silly reason, and they aren't currently ruling. And so she is trying to bypass devolution. Currently, laws in Northern Ireland are, as the world would see it, very strict. They are not total at all. Don't fool yourselves thinking that. Abortion is not totally legal in our country currently. But they're not, as the world would see it, they're very strict. And this is a crafty, crafty attempt. Just last week, to get rid of our, as they would see it, outdated, draconian, uncompassionate laws. And that 10-minute bill, do you know what the result was? 208 votes for, 123 against. So that's been passed, that bill, and the second lengthier reading of it is happening, so you know, on the 23rd of November. Be praying for that. There will be a lengthier hearing of this bill from Diana Johnson. Pray against that. Pray for that in your prayer meeting. It seems even this bill to have cross-party support. Conservatives for it. Labour for it. And how often do you see that? Not very often, is it? They don't agree on anything. But there they are agreeing about abortion. And doesn't it just remind you of Psalm 2? Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, against his Christ, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. How dare God bind us with his silly laws? Let's break them apart. And we know God laughs in heaven. A laugh of, not of amusement, but derision. There they are against Christ, and they are united together against Christ. So what are we to do about it, dear brothers and sisters? We're not to fear. We know God's in control at the end of that psalm. We know that his Christ, his anointed, all of the nations are already his. He's actively claiming them now via the proclamation of his word. All the kings, what are they to do? They're to kiss the Son, his wrath, to turn. That's their only hope. And what are we, the servants of the King, to do about it? We're to serve him. We're to live for him. We're to stand for him. We're to shine for him. That's what we're to do about it. Christ Jesus, the Creator and Savior of the world, we are to be unashamedly speaking about him. We know him. Amazingly, we know him. And we are to tell people about him, the creator of life and light, himself, he who died on the cross for us. We're to tell people about him. And we're to tell people what he thinks of what they're doing. We're to be quick to do that, bold to do that, not hesitant. We're to know what an affront to him the killing of little ones is. Little ones who haven't even seen the light of day. Him, the creator of light, him, the very source. Oh, how polluted our land could be, even more so than now. As I said, abortion is not totally illegal in our country. 50 abortions happened last year, legally. And that isn't even including something that rarely is mentioned by any pro-life group. What other abortion is legal in your country and you can buy from the chemists easily? The morning after pill. All those stats, all those BBs that you heard that represented 10,000 lives in every BB doesn't mention the morning after pill. It's not even considered. But we as Christians know that life begins in conception. We as Christians know what King David said. He's conceived in sin. He's not talking about sexual act being a sin. What's he talking about? He's talking about being a two-cell-day-old sinner. That's what he's talking about. We know that God creates that life. That life is no more alive than we are now. And so we know the morning after pill is a great evil. But currently, by God's grace, in our country, we don't have to now pass by a Planned Parenthood clinic on our commute to work. We don't have to pass by that building thinking of what happens there time and time again every day. We don't have to pass by, as they do in the UK, the British Pregnancy Advice Service clinics, knowing what happens there. And even those two names, Planned Parenthood, that name's a lie. British Pregnancy Advice Service, that name's a lie. What are they? They are abortion clinics. They are killing mills. That's what they do for a business. And to call yourself British Pregnancy Advice Center or Service, that's a lie. That clinic, the BPA clinic, it's run by Anne Ferretti. And she boasts, my wife read her book, The Moral Case for Abortion. Even that title, The Moral Case for Abortion. And she boasts that 20,000 women use her services every year. That's what she boasts. And we don't want this in our country. We must not be silent about it. You're given a voice, you know the word, and you're to speak the word. You're to proclaim the word. From the youngest of you here, and I am glad the youngest of you are here, listening to these hard words, knowing the darkness of your country, not being fooled by the sparkle of this world, but knowing the sin that's in it, and the only hope, God's word. You speaking God's word into this country, you shining for God in this country. And if we are silent about it, what are we? We're complicit in it. If you are silent about it, you're complicit in it. A couple of verses that mean a lot to the folk of Let Them Live. Proverbs 24:10-12. May this strike home to every one of us. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, "Behold, we did not know this," does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Dear friends, we know that this is such a day of adversity for little ones who have never spoken, little ones who have never breathed the sweet air of this earth. We know that we are to speak about it. We know it. And God knows that we know it, and we're to act. Same as the last verse there, Isaiah 1:17, learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. I want you, every time you hear God's word read and that label, fatherless, I want you to think about the lives of the little ones yet unborn. Who are they? They are really the fatherless of this age. Those whose very own parents don't want them. Want them dead, literally. They are the fatherless in a way. And I want you to think about that. And who are you to bring justice to? You're to bring you, as God's people, in His world, are to try with all that He's given to you. You are to try to be God's people bringing justice to the fatherless. And boy, do they not have justice now. Quote from Martin Luther. I don't know if it's up there. It is up there. If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christ. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord God above is so clear in His word where life begins and that murder is wrong. It's against Him. It's against Him as God, as Creator, as Savior. And so part of our witness in this world must be to tell them about the one and only God and what He thinks. What He thinks about what they're doing. That must be part of our witness. To tell them about that sin. Where, what does Luther say? That little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking. They're attacking that truth about life. And that's how they're living. And so we are therefore to cry out about that truth as we witness. It must be part of our witness or we're not witnessing. And another thing about this fight that we have in our hands. We're soldiers of Christ. It's so clear that we are at war. He's kitted us out in total. He's kitted us out with the armor and the weaponry that we need. And He's told us again and again and again in His word that this is war. We are soldiers. This isn't to be a life of comfort. This isn't to be a life of ease. You are to remain here as citizens of heaven in earth to serve Him, to fight for Him. And one thing about this fight, this abortion issue in the West, it is slippery. They are clever. Wickedly clever. The pro-choice movement is a well-oiled, well-practiced machine. It has been about for decades. And they use slippery words. And for us to preach the gospel, we must peel back what they're trying to say, but veiling it. That's part of our witness. We must peel back what they're doing. And if you speak to any pro-choice person, you will hear them use the exact same rhetoric, the exact same argumentation, the same wording again and again and again. Words like termination, fetus, ending a pregnancy, products of conception, parasite, and so on. Even the term abortion. I titled this talk, the Abortion Seminar. That is a veiled term. It's not a real term. It's a made-up term. They have grabbed that term. They have used that term to veil what they're doing. They're murdering the life of the little ones yet unborn. That term abortion, it doesn't exist. It's not real. It means stop. To abort what you're doing. To abort from whatever cause you have. To abort a life. It's a veiled term. It's murder. Most clever of all, I'd say, is the term pro-choice. I hate that term. Pro-choice. If you told someone, or if you asked someone, who is for abortion, are you pro-choice? They would proudly and happily say, yes, I am pro-choice. But then ask them, if you have this conversation in your witnessing, ask them, what are you pro-choice for? Are you pro-choice? Full stop. That's the question. Are you pro-choice? Yes, you are. Okay. Are you pro-choice for slavery? Are you pro-choice for killing your children, like in the Roman Empire, up to the age of 3? Are you pro-choice for that? It's madness. It's a veiled term, pro-choice. And the same, linked along with that, trust women, it's very hard to argue against that. Are you not holding up the signs? Are you not trusting women? Trust women, they'll not use the service unless they need it. It's madness. Trust women, pro-choice. And brothers and sisters, part of our gospel message, we're to expose sin, we're to see those slippery terms, we're to be wise, we're to pray to God about what they mean, and we're to preach it. We're to tell people, that's not actually what you're saying at all. This is what God says, and this is what you must bow down to. One verse that convicted me, Matthew 14, verse 4. It is not lawful for you to have her. Whose words are they? That's John the Baptist. Who's he speaking to? It is not lawful for you to have her. He is speaking to Herod about being married to Herodias. That was an incestuous marriage. It was against the law of God. And he tells him, it is not lawful for you to have her. Lawful according to what? According to the laws of Rome? Certainly not. Fire away. Lawful then, unlawful then, regarding what? God's law. And so there Herod is, or there John the Baptist is, the last Old Testament prophet, preaching God's law to Herod. And we're to see that, and we're to see that's what I'm to do. I'm to preach God's law to the people above me, to my neighbours. We're to say it is not lawful for you to do that. According to God's law, it is not lawful, and that is so very much part of being salt and light and a city on a hill. We're to do that. And we are to say those offensive things, even though the world hates it. We're to be that light, even though they don't want to see that light, because they live in darkness and happily so. But to serve Jesus faithfully, we must. And that, ultimately, is the desire of let them live. Let them live is simply a group of concerned Christians humbly wanting to cry out about Christ's laws that are not kept and Christ's gospel that is not accepted by many. That is the simple desire. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Psalm 119, verses 1 to 36. We are to care whether people in our town live for God or live against God. And the only way they live for God is by salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to care whether people therefore live for him or they don't. And let them live is simply that. To explain a bit about who we are, that's just the wee logo of Let Them Live. Let Them Live started in 2017, and largely it was the desire of Rekela and John O'Johnson. Warren Peel, your lovely minister, he was the minister in Ballyclabber RP of Rekela and John O'Johnson. And they, along with a handful of others, were rebuked by a man who stood up there with a funny American accent and a lovely big bushy beard. I had to look down to remind myself of his name. Jeff Durbin. They were rebuked by him. And he largely said, you must proclaim the gospel into this sin, in this country that you live in. You must stand up for Jesus. And he was saying things like this. Protestant churches are in a slumber over the abortion horror. Now that was written in by a Christian doctor, I think, in, what's that, the 22nd of September. So just last month, That is, isn't that last month? Yes, it is. I'm sleepy, I have a young baby. That's what a Christian doctor wrote in. And Jeff Durbin and his crew got together and put out this video, End Abortion Now documentary, Losing Ireland. There were a fair few people in the RP Church didn't really like that video because it had a scene in it, Ballyclabber RP, I think, and it had the lovely blue banner for Christ, Crown and Covenant, and basically it made us look a little bit bad, but that's fine because we need a lesson in humility, that's fine. But the whole point was that you're to do more. And how can that ever be a bad message? Do more for Jesus, go out for him. And that is what started this little group of people coming together. Some other people were from RP circles as well, were saying, but we have done so much. So much. 30 years ago, that's the reason that the abortion law wasn't put into practice in Northern Ireland. That's true. Many of your grannies and grandas were out in front of City Hall with their please no to abortion in Northern Ireland. And our cry is, do that again. The attack is now. Do it now. Come to those rallies. Come to those times of witnessing and hold up those placards for King Jesus and cry out about the law of God and how it is being broken. We did it 30 years ago and we pray by God's grace we will do it again. The first thing that Let Them Live did was go to the pro-life Catholics rally, I'd forgotten I'd written that. Who are they? Precious Life, Bernie, I always feel like saying Sanders, what's her name? Bernie, thank you. That's her group of people, and we went along there with our, well, sneaky pro-gospel leaflets and handed them out to all the Catholics, just using it as a gospel opportunity. And what did they say? So many of them said to us, and it was so rebuking, where have you been? We went there to Stormont with the Let Them Live tracks, and it's pro-life in there, but it's also pro-eternal life in those tracks. And they said to us, where have you been? And that was so rebuking, and it should be rebuking to us. And I pray God convicts us, even through those little verses that we've skimmed over, to go out, to go. And just so you know who Let Them Live are, we are Presbyterians, so is Let Them Live under any eldership, or is it just some random little group running about without elders' oversight? Not at all. Wisely, under the advice of Joel Lockridge, he said to try to have elders' oversight, to put it under the Cookstown session currently. And so currently, Let Them Live is a ministry of the Cookstown RP Fellowship. That is currently how we sit. But it is our prayer that this will be a RPCI-wide venture. It is our prayer that many of you this morning or this afternoon, that you will sign up. Can you actually get a wee bit of paper together? I was meant to print this out, but I didn't. So if someone, it's Andrew Graham, he's responsible. If Andrew can get a bit of paper together, is he not? Oh, his wife disagrees. If he can get a piece of paper together, we'll do it old school, and you can just write down your email so that first that you can pray for us, also that you can come to any rallies that we're trying to put on. In 6 months' time or thereabouts, we're trying to put on a full-scale rally together, something like... Isn't that lovely? Is Sarah happy that's up there? I didn't ask for permission. But we're having it hopefully on the 11th of May. So if you can take a note of that date, the 11th of May. That's not confirmed, but that's thereabouts where we're trying to hold a rally in Belfast and to come. And we're trying to invite, not only do we want this pro-life group to be RPCI-wide, we want every evangelical church there at that rally to show this country that the Christian church does not want abortion. And one thing I would say about why we felt it necessary to form a little separate pro-life group, we searched hard in Ireland for a openly Christian pro-life group. Couldn't find one. They may be there, maybe we didn't look hard enough, but the fact that we did look hard and we didn't really find one was very, very concerning. There are many Catholic pro-life groups, and so that is why Let Them Live largely was formed. And one thing about, some of you may be thinking about, I hope I get their name right, Both Lives Matter. They are in line with the Evangelical Alliance. But what is their aim? Both Lives Matter. They are in line with the Evangelical Alliance, a Christian organization. Their aim is to be pragmatic. Their aim is to get all faiths together to be anti-abortion. And there is certain wisdom in that, if that's your aim. But our aim is to serve King Jesus. And our aim is to be openly Christian. Our aim is to be like John the Baptist and say, it is not lawful for you to have her. Herod doesn't care that it's not lawful. He's not for God and he's not for God's law, but still we're to proclaim God's law and we're to be openly Christian. You think about the young 16-year-old setting her GCSEs, finding herself pregnant. What is her only hope? Her only hope is the gospel. You think of the young rape victim. What is their only hope if they find themselves pregnant through that horrific act? Their only hope is Christ. That's their only hope. And so we're not to go out in a pragmatic way thinking what is the best way in trying to be crafty and wise in the world's eyes to get our government to do what we want. No, we're to go out to serve Christ. And all Let Them Live is a gospel-focused group who are seeing that abortion is a primary sin in our land, and we are using abortion to witness through, and we're using abortion to witness to. That is what Let Them Live is. It's very, very simple, and I would be happy to answer any questions about it. I'll just run through. This is one of the first times I'm looking at my watch. I apologize. What time did I start? A wee while ago. You're hungry. Let me run through just the aims of Let Them Live. We want to proclaim the gospel in the public square, to the pro-life movement, and to churches. We want to enable and equip Christians. And you are to know that this little group is tiny. We are a tiny little group. We are in our infancy. We do not claim to have all the answers at all. And we come to a nice big church like this. We come for help. I'm very happy that I've been invited here. And I want that little sheet that Andrew faithfully will put at the back. I want lots of your names on it. I want you to come and to be able to pray. And I want you to come and support the rallies. I also want anybody with skills that you think you could be used. Think of the media. We're trying to Let Them Live us, obviously, on Facebook and other things that young people know about. Can't remember the other one. Lydia, what's the other one? Lydia's gone. What's the other one we're on? Facebook and? Yes, of course I know about that. I'm not old. If any of you can come together with media skills, video editing skills, etc., etc., please come to us. We're planning to release something along the lines of a video that can be shared, a well-produced video with the hard-hitting message that abortion is wrong and Christ is the only way, and we need people with skills. We are in our infancy, we are a tiny group, and we need help, and so we ask you for help. Date of the rally, 11th of May, hopefully, and I ask you simply to pray. Make it a matter of prayer. We know that ending abortion in Northern Ireland is not the be-all and end-all. There are many sins, and we are to see every sin as an opportunity for the gospel, but it is one mighty big sin, and you're to see the horror of it. You're to remember those little BBs And you're to remember what it represents, and you're to cry out to Jesus for mercy. You're to cry out to him to come back soon. And while he tarries his return, you're to serve him. And I pray you do. I pray you help us. I pray let them live, not for our glory because we are tiny and foolish, but I pray that it takes off. I pray that it becomes an RPCI-wide ministry. I pray that even it goes to Scotland, Scottish people got in contact with us and saying we're really encouraged by what's happening and we've started a prayer meeting. You start a prayer meeting. And they want, maybe let them live, to come over to Scotland to inspire them to do more. And I pray that we all, including myself, I am a naturally lazy, sinful person, and I pray that we would all be inspired more and more to serve Christ, especially in this area, especially in the sinner land. Let's pray together. Lord God in heaven, we pray for forgiveness for our weakness. We pray for forgiveness for living our lives so much for ourselves. And Lord, we pray that you would press home to our souls that time is short and the heathen are perishing. O Father in heaven, enable us to see, just like of course we would have seen through Mark's preaching, how blessed we are and how much we have to worship you for as our God, as our Creator, as our Saviour. And Lord, we pray therefore that in the short time that we have left, that we would serve you. That we would take those Saturdays, not just as family days, but when the opportunity arises, that we would go and do the difficult thing of speaking to a city, of speaking to a town. Oh, forgive us for taking the easy options so much in our lives. We pray that you would help us to serve your Son more. This before he comes back and burns every sin from off the face of this world. O Father in heaven, we thank you that that day is coming, and we pray that it does come soon. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray, and all for his glory. Amen. Thank you again for your time.